Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Probably knew where I was going with that. I mentioned this verse in a message here just recently, and of course we preach from it from time to time, but I was looking at it and just a certain part of it really caught my attention that I want to just dwell on tonight somewhat. And great verse in the Old Testament about revival. I think it's a great truth that we need to really take into our hearts. And we're looking for Jubilee, and we certainly are praying that God would give us that. But I'm going to let me say this. In Jubilee, I'm looking for more than just real good services, more than just shouting, more than just the emotional stir that we have. I'm looking for God to do something deep down in hearts that will help me and help you and help all that come to the meeting. God's been good to us. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against the shouting. I'm not against the praising God, having a good time. I'm all for that. I say, sick them on. Amen. But let's pray it goes beyond that, that we're looking for more than that. And that's great, and that's wonderful. We praise God. You never get through praising God. If you're really praising the Lord, that's great. When you get a bunch of preachers together, it's not hard to get some amens and hallelujahs and all that going, and that kind of comes with the territory. But I'd like to see it the Sunday after. I'd like to see it the Sunday after that. And our hearts so stirred up, we feel like we're in Jubilee all the time and going for God. All right, let's stand, please. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's have just a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you tonight for the songs that have been sung. Thank you tonight for everyone that's come out to the house of God. I pray you bless them. And Lord, may we all come together tonight with our hearts and our minds centered in on you and on this word that we just read. And I pray that you've laid upon my heart that I be able to share with this group of people. And Lord, that you would help us, that we may be drawn closer unto you. And Father, I pray that people may see their need and I may see my need, and that all of us may yield our beings unto thee. God, we be ready when Jubilee time comes that we not be having to wait somebody gets here, preachers get here, and singers come in, whatever. But Lord, that in our hearts we'll be already enjoying Jubilee. I pray for our service tonight. Lord, touch my mind. Help me to remember. And I pray the power of the Holy Ghost be upon me. Lord, I know I need you tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I said something about this. It may have been Sunday. I really don't remember when it was, but I run across this verse, and we talked about it just a little bit, but I'm going to review it just a little bit. Then I'm going to center in on a certain phrase in that verse. But it says, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, again, I remind you that he did not say if the government got right. He did not say if the homosexuals quit being homosexuals. He didn't say if the drunks quit drinking. Didn't say any of that. Or the adulterers quit that. Didn't say any of that. It said, if my people, which are called by my name, and we are his people, we are called by his name, we say that we're Christians, and shall humble themselves. And that word humble is just simply the opposite of pride. When you are humble, you're not thinking about self so much. I thought about the word joy. Somebody said, how you spell joy? J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, you third. And I guess that's a pretty good way to put it. And I think that's a good way to put humility. And God rejects pride. He hates pride, he said. But to be humble before God, realizing that we don't deserve anything. I asked Brother Bill A. there. I always know what he's going to say. But I ask him anyway, how you doing? Better than I deserve. I always get that answer. And I believe he says it with heart because he means that. Better than he deserves. And I guarantee you he's better than he deserves. I'm better than I deserve, and you're better than you deserve. We all deserve to be in hell. But God's grace, mercy kept us out of the hell and going to take us to heaven. So we need to realize that we need God. And he can do without us. But as Brother Tommy Steele says, we can't do without him. And so humble themselves and pray. And he said, come boldly, throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. We all need to pray, don't we? And we need that. We have prayer meeting. We get around the altar, we pray. We pray on Saturday night, we pray. I hope every day we pray. And trying to ask God to help us and thanking him and giving him praise. And then says, seek my face. I'm going to come back to that one in just a moment. But notice what else he said. And the last thing he said, return from their wicked ways. Why didn't he start out with that first? Turn from your wicked ways and then work up to these other things. Because you'll never turn from your wicked ways until you're humble, until you pray, until you call on his name and humble and pray and seek his face. We'll never turn from our wicked ways like he wants us to until we do those things first. And then he said, but notice what he said, then, after these things are done, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Is that not what we need tonight, is healing of our land? And he said, then will I forgive their sin. He's talking to the people of God and saying, then will I forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land needs healing, so I believe where it starts is in the church. I believe it starts in every Christian's heart. And across America, churches would have revival, real revival. I believe our country would turn around. But until we do, we're in a mess. And the politicians are not going to fix it. Congress is not going to fix it. They're politicians, I guess. We need some statesmen is what we need, but that's another message. But anyway, we need God is what we need. God to direct us and help us in this. But I got to look in this verse and this phrase, and seek my face. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God. And the first thing that hit me when I looked at it was, how do you do that? How do you seek the face of God? And I began to meditate on that. God began to stir my heart because I really struggled with that. And seek my face. Many years I read that. And I didn't have any idea where to start with it. And then I began to get some idea where to start with it. And tonight I hope I can share a little bit with you about at least where we can start with seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God. We use that term that we're seeking the face of God, but what does it mean? What do we mean by that? Seeking the face of God. Let me say first of all that God told Moses that no man could see him, see God and live. And you remember he put Moses in the rock and passed by, let him see his afterglow, back parts, and said, I did that. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And so if we're going to seek the face of God, and Jesus is God, we need to find which way he's looking. If I'm looking at you and you're seeking my face, and I turn around and this way, all you see is my bald head. Well, turn this way, you see my face. And so if we're going to seek the face of God, we need to know which way he's facing. And when we know which way he's facing, then we can seek his face and begin to move in that direction. And I said, hallelujah. I thought about that. Praise God. If I can just find out which way he's looking and seek that way, then I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Let me say, number one, first place that Jesus looked was the Heavenly Father. Now, he was God. He's God in flesh, but he became man, and he looked unto the Father. He prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. So we have to start out with that fact that if we're going to seek the face of God, we're going to have to forget about ourselves and seek him, and seek his face is to realize the fact that the Father's the one we need to pray to and ask God and exalt him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. That's how we need to pray. And we're seeking the face of God. It's hallowed be his name. Glory to his name. Holy, holy, holy is him. And that we look unto him and praise him and then give him thanks for what he has done for us and praising him in that manner. I say hallelujah for the Lord God Almighty who rules and reigns in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And as we think of that and seeking the face of God, and finding which way he's looking to the Father. tonight. We don't need to look. Now, Brother Joe Arthur is listed as the evangelist for the week. There'll be other preachers coming in preaching, and there'll be singers singing. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not looking to Brother Arthur to bring the jubilee in. I'm not looking to some other preacher to bring in jubilee. I'm looking for God. Look to the Father first. Ask Him. Talk to Him about it. Amen. See what He wants you to get out of it. Ask Him what He wants you to have and what He wants me to have. And let's pray one for another that we'll all get what we need from jubilee, because God, we seek His face. And seeking the face of God. I don't know why I'm looking at my Bible from. I don't have an outline. I just might as well forget that. So seek the face of God, and we need to find out which way He's looking. So we're looking to Jesus. He's looking to the Father. Then Jesus, when He was placed by the multitudes, He had compassion on them. The Bible says, as He saw the multitudes, He had compassion on them, because they were sheep as scattered, having no shepherd. And he looked on the multitude. And you and I need to, as we seek the face of God, look on the multitude that need help. And we praying for jubilee for us right here in Gateway Baptist Church. But I'm looking out here in the community around Gateway, in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, Greenville, up in Gaffney, and around and up 20, everywhere in reach of this church. We're looking for jubilee. In fact, it'll go out over the internet, as far as I know it will. And it'll be in different countries. It'll be in different places. We need to realize the fact we're dealing with the multitudes. We're dealing with a multitude that need to be helped in this. And so we're seeking the face of God. We need to look at the multitudes. He's looking that way. And so we're seeking His face. We're looking at the multitudes that need help and having compassion on them. That means we'll have compassion too, does it not? And if we're seeking the face of God, is having compassion and praying for them and trying to reach them. He looked out and He said, "Stay not there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Lo, the fields are white already unto harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that He'll send forth laborers into the harvest." We need to pray for laborers in the harvest, not just Southern Sudan, but we need laborers in America. We need laborers in Europe, and we need the laborers in Africa and South America. We need laborers everywhere. And I do appreciate the fact God has opened that door in Southern Sudan, where it is a new country that's wide open for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray much about that. But let's pray much about us seeing the fields white now. Time's running out. It'll soon be over, and we'll soon be out of here. We'll be in heaven shouting glory, hallelujah. And we'll be over with now. And our opportunities to win somebody to Christ will be over completely. There'll never be a time we can invite somebody to church. Everybody there is going to be in church. And because He's the temple thereof. And everybody there is going to be praising God. Everybody there is going to be right with God. And not going to be unsaved there. And so what we do for the unsaved, we're going to have to do it now while we have time and opportunity. Is that not right? And seeking the face of God. He looked on the fields. I want to seek the face of God. I want to seek His face. And I want to find out which way He's looking and look that way. Let me say tonight, as he looks to the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean He looked to the Word of God? He wrote the Word." I know, but He looked to the Word of God. And when He's tempted by Satan, every time Satan tempted Him, He quoted Him Scripture. He gave Him the Word of God. If I'm going to seek the face of God, then I'm going to have to find out something about this book right here. As he sought the face of God, and the devil tempted Him about the bread, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He tempted Him about jumping off the temple and showing Himself mighty. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Took Him up and showed Him the kingdom of the world and said, "It is written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou love." I say hallelujah, amen. Every time He was tempted, He quoted the Word of God. If we're going to seek the face of God, we'll have to get in the book. We'll have to get in the Word if we're going to seek the face of God and find out which way. He's looking that way. And I say, let's seek His face, amen. Find out what God has for us and seek the face of God in the Word of God. But then I find something else about Jesus as I try to see which way is He looking. The Bible said that He went to Calvary. He was going that direction as a set like a flint. And he moved in the direction, knew where He was going, knew where He was headed. Brother Evan just testified about Calvary, about being there Jesus made our sin for us. I say hallelujah, that's right. He looked to Calvary. I don't believe you ever have anything from God if you don't look to Calvary. Calvary, that's where the great, I remember when man was put up in space and made the first step on the moon, and the president of the United States at that time said, the greatest step that's ever happened in the history of the world. Not so. Not so. The greatest event that ever happened in the history of this world is when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sin, paid our price, took our place, and then rose from the dead. That's the greatest day that ever has been, ever will be. I say hallelujah. We'd have been lost and dead and gone to hell had it not been for God going to Calvary. If we're going to seek a face of God, we'll have to go to Calvary and bow at his feet and see the blood and realize it's through the blood and it's by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have something from God. Glory, hallelujah. I'm glad for Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, hallelujah for the cross. Thank God for the cross. And the cross is empty today, but I want you to know it's still a place. There's level ground at the foot of Calvary. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. Ain't nobody more important than somebody else. Everybody's the same. Come to Calvary. If you're going to, hey, I got somebody I'd like to see get saved. Come to Calvary. Look to Calvary again. Visit by Calvary. Hallelujah. I know you can't get saved again, but boy, you can sure get thankful for Calvary. You can sure get to the foot of the cross again. You can sure get there and say, praise God for Calvary. The Lord Jesus, if you're going to seek his face, you're going to have to go to Calvary. He went to Calvary. Look that way. Went to Calvary. Now, then when he rose from the dead, he sent him back unto the Father and sat down at the right hand of God. He's looking at the blood. And sees the blood. He didn't waste any blood. I believe every drop of blood Jesus shed somehow was taken up. Say, preacher, that's an impossibility. It's impossible for a man to raise from the dead. Amen, but he did. It's impossible for somebody to say, let there be light, and there be light. It's impossible for a man to say, let there be a cow, and there's a cow. Or let there be a horse, and there's a horse. That's impossible too, but God did that. If God can do that, he can pick up every drop of blood that was shed, and by his marvelous power, take it to glory, put it on the mercy seat in heaven itself, and there he pleads my case. And every time a devil brings up something, God looks at the blood and say, I see the blood was shed. The death penalty was paid. He's not guilty. And what sins are you talking about? I say glory, hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you can get that in? Looking, seeking the face of God. Which way is he looking? He's looking toward Calvary, looking toward the blood. Hallelujah. Looking for that. But let me say something else about which way is he looking. Which way is he looking? He's looking to the church. And I guess I really want to nail here just a little bit, but he's looking to the church. He's looking at Gateway Baptist Church tonight. So if we're going to look at the face of God, we need to see the church. I thank God for the church. I praise God for the church. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Somebody said I can serve God just as well out of the church as I can in the church. That's not so. That's not so. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Except on this rock, I'll build my church. When he left the commission, he left it to the church. When he left the ordinances of the baptism and Lord's Supper, he left it to the church. The church is the only one that has authority from God to perform that and do that. And I say to you tonight, thank God for the church. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of Gateway Baptist Church. I'm glad to be that. And tonight, I encourage you to think about the church. You all thank God you're part of the church. But now, let me look with me in Revelation chapter 2. I'm just going to hit it real briefly. Chapter 2, and 5 out of 7 churches, he calls to repentance. 5 out of 7. The first church you'll find mentioned in verse 1 is Ephesus. And he said, write to these churches, 7 churches in Asia Minor. He said, Ephesus, write to Ephesus. And then he begins to tell them some good things about them. But then he said in verse 4, but nevertheless I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. So if we're going to seek the face of God, we're looking to the church. And looking at the church, we want to know, have we left our first love? We need to consider that. Then we look at verse number 8, talking about the church of Smyrna. And they've done a great persecution, persecution, I guess, is the only best way to put it. And he doesn't call them to repentance. But look at Pergamos in verse number 12. And Pergamos, and he talked about their works and not denied the faith. He talked some good things about them. But verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast There are them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. God said, I hate that all that pomp and all that stuff, and that doctrine of Balaam, and get them to mix with the world. And he's talking about fornication. You remember over there in James, he talked about adulterers and adulteresses, and said anybody's a friend of the world is not a friend of God. And so he's talking about we need to be separated from the world. And Pergamos he called to repentance. I want you to look with me, please, at verse number 18, the church at Thyatira, as he talked about that church and knew their works and so forth. But verse 20, notwithstanding, I have some few things against thee, because I suffer that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. He said, you letting things mix in with the church. Don't need to do that. Be separated. Live for God. Look at chapter 3, the church at Sardis. It said, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. May we examine ourselves on that. We say we're alive, but sometimes we act dead. Sometimes we act like we're still in grave clothes, bound up. Church at Philadelphia, he did not call them to repentance. The loving church, doors open, and he didn't call them to repentance. Church at Laodicea was lukewarm and said, I call you to repentance. And repentance. And so 5 out of 7 churches he called repentance. If we look at the church at Ephesus and think about the church at Ephesus, we'd have to probably bow our head and say we're not much of a doing much of what they did. And if they, God said they left their first love and they need to get back, then I wonder where we are. And the church at Sardis and these other churches he talked about, and church at church of Thyatira and Pergamos and what they were doing. And they had some good works and good things about them. But then God saw the bad also. We're going to seek the face of God. We're going to have to not only see the church as the blessing that it is and thank God for it, but we're going to have to see our need. We're going to see our need. We're doing all right. Boy, we're excited about Jubilee, and we're doing all right. No, we need to see our church as a whole. We need God's power in every service. We need sinners coming in. We need to see them coming down the aisle weeping for God. We need the power of God working in the pulpit. We need to see the power of God work. I'm a candidate for that kind of praying. I'm a candidate for that kind of work. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to stand here tonight. Think about seeking the face of God. Lord, help me seek your face like I should seek your face. We'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.